Welcome back. In this lesson, we're taking a raw jungle rag a break and turning it into a real DJ tool inside Ableton Live 12. Not just a loop, not just a copied break. We're building something that feels played, human, and ready to slot into a drum and bass arrangement without falling apart. This is the kind of edit that can work as an intro tool, a transition, a mid-track switch up, or a pressure point before the drop. And in jungle and rag-inspired DNB, that matters a lot. Because the drums are not just keeping time, they are carrying attitude, motion, and personality. So the goal here is simple. Keep the break alive, keep it usable, and keep it tight enough for club playback. First thing, choose the right source break. You want a break with character. Something with snare personality, ghost hits, a bit of room tone, maybe even some vocal flavor if it's in there. Don't start with a super clean, sterile loop if you want jungle energy. The dusty, slightly uneven stuff tends to work better. Set your tempo to around 172 BPM. That's a strong default for this style. Now listen to the break before you do too much to it. If it already feels good, don't force it into submission with heavy warping. If you do need warp, use a mode that preserves the transience well. Beats can be great for sharp drum material, and Complex or Complex Pro can help if the audio needs a little more correction. But the big idea is this. Align the break, don't sterilize it. That's a key mindset in intermediate DNB editing. At these tempos, tiny timing shifts really matter. If you lock everything perfectly to the grid, the break can lose its swagger fast. Jungle lives in that slight lean, that push and pull. Next, slice the break to a new MIDI track. This is where Ableton gets fun. Slicing the break turns it into something you can actually perform and reshape. Slice by transient so you keep the natural feel of the source. Put the slices in one-shot mode and then map out the core elements, your main kick hits, your main snare hits, ghost notes, little hat fragments, maybe the texture or vocal chop if the break has one. Now build a basic two-bar phrase. Don't try to reinvent the entire break at once. Start by preserving the original pulse. Keep the backbeat strong. Keep the snare identity clear. Then fill in the spaces with ghost hits and little variations. If the source break is overly busy, simplify it first. You can always add detail back in later. That's one of the biggest traps here. Too many slices can make the groove harder to hear, not bigger. Now comes the part that really makes the difference, humanizing the timing. Open the MIDI clip and start nudging a few notes by hand. Let some ghost hits sit slightly late. Push a couple of kick fragments a tiny bit early. Leave some notes right where they are. The point is not randomness. The point is controlled inconsistency. If every hit is the same velocity and the same timing, the edit might look clean, but it won't feel alive. A good starting zone is subtle. Think tiny offsets, not dramatic swings. Ghost notes can be shifted just enough to feel relaxed. Main snares should stay solid enough to anchor the groove. That backbeat is sacred. You can move the decorations around it, but don't let the whole rhythm drift off center. If you want extra swing, use the groove pull lightly. Just a small amount is often enough. You're aiming for breathing room, not a broken shuffle. In DNB, the listener still needs to feel the pulse clearly. The drums can be loose, but they can't become vague. Now let's make the break stronger and more mixable by layering it. Create a second drum layer, maybe a clean kick, maybe a short snare transient, maybe a very low noise or clap layer if it helps. You can keep everything in a drum rack or route the parts through a drum bus. The idea is to support the break, not replace it. The original break should still be doing the talking. On that drum bus, add a little drum bus for glue and weight. Add EQ8 to clean out mud if needed. If the groove needs light compression, use glue compressor gently. Don't squash it. Just bring the pieces together. A couple of dB of gain reduction is often enough. And here's an important DNB reminder. If the break already has low-end energy, don't keep boosting the bottom forever. You want the break to support the bassline, not wrestle it. A high pass on the break bus can be smarter than piling on more bass. In this style, sub-discipline is everything. Now shape the tone. Jungle ragga breaks often benefit from a bit of dirt. Not destroyed dirt, just enough saturation to give them attitude and presence. A saturator with a little drive can help. Soft clip can keep peaks under control while adding character. Drum bus can also help sharpen transients and add a bit of bite. If the break sounds boxy, look around the low mid area and clear some space there. If the hats are getting brittle, tame the brighter top end a little. You want the drums to sound worn in, not fried. If the break feels too dry, add a very short room or ambience. Keep it subtle. A short decay, low mix, and a high pass on the reverb return will give a sense of space without turning the whole thing muddy. We're not making a wash, we're making a physical, believable drum space. Now let's arrange it like a DJ tool. This is where a lot of people miss the bigger picture. A good break edit is not just a loop that sounds cool in isolation. It needs to enter, build, and exit cleanly. Think in phrases, not just bars. A strong structure might go like this. A stripped or filtered intro for the first couple bars. Then the main snare and ghost detail come in. Then the full break energy lands. And then a variation or fill leads you onward. That way the section breathes. It doesn't just repeat. You can create tension by removing the kick for the first bar. You can bring the snare in first. Then the hats. Then the full groove. You can mute one major hit every couple of bars so the listener gets that call and response feeling. And at the end of a phrase, throw in a little fill, maybe to chop tom, a rim shot, or a vocal fragment if the source has one. That's the kind of thing that makes a break feel arranged instead of pasted. For DJ friendliness, leave the intro and outro a little cleaner than the main section. Give the mix some breathing room. If you're imagining this in a live set, the DJ needs space to blend. If the break is too busy right away, it becomes hard to work with. Keep the opening more restrained, and let the energy build as the phrase develops. Now bring movement in with automation. Automate an auto filter cutoff so the break opens gradually over 4 or 8 bars. Add a little resonance at the end of a phrase if you want a bit of extra tension. Throw one snare hit into delay before a transition, then cut it off hard so the next section lands clean. You can also use utility to pull the break down slightly before the bass comes in, so the drop feels bigger. This is the difference between a loop and a scene. Automation gives the break a sense of direction. And now, always check the bass relationship. Even if the break is the focus of this lesson, it has to live with the low end. The bass line matters. The kick and the sub need to cooperate. Keep the sub mostly below around 90 to 110 HC, and make sure the break isn't crowding that area. If the low mids feel too thick, clean them up a bit. If the whole mix feels cloudy, check the break in mono and listen for clash points. A very useful rule in DNB is this. If the bass is moving a lot, the break should stay readable and supportive. If the break is busy and expressive, the bass can be simpler. That push and pull is part of what makes the arrangement feel professional. A couple of common mistakes to watch out for. Don't quantize the break too hard. That's probably the biggest one. You'll lose the human feel immediately. Don't layer too many kicks and snares either, because then the transient smear and the groove gets weaker instead of stronger. Don't overdo saturation. If the snare starts sounding crunchy in a bad way, you've gone too far. And don't forget the DJ side of it. If the intro and outro are too chaotic, the tool becomes hard to use in a set. Also, don't make the break too bright. In a club, harsh top end can get painful fast. If the hats or cymbals start biting too much, tame them. Here's a pro move. Create two personalities from the same break. Make one version tighter and more mix-friendly, and another version looser, dirtier and more expressive. Use the cleaner one for intros and exits, and the heavier one when you want the tune to hit harder. That gives you flexibility without having to rebuild the whole thing. Another good trick is to build a small fill bank from the same source. Slice tiny vocal shouts, snare bursts, hat flicks, or tom-like fragments, and keep them ready for phrase endings. Those little details can make the arrangement feel intentional and alive. And don't underestimate silence. In fast music, one missing hit can create more groove than 3 extra ones. Bass can be the percussion element. So, to wrap it up, slice the jungle rag a break so you can edit it like an instrument. Humanize the timing and velocity instead of gridlocking everything. Shape it with drum bus, EQ, saturator, utility, and light compression. Arrange it like a DJ tool with clear intros, builds, fills, and exits. And always keep the bass relationship clean. If you do that well, the break stops being just a loop. It becomes a performance tool, a transition weapon, and a real part of your DNB production workflow. Now your challenge is to build a two-part break tool, one version for mixing and one version for energy. Keep the source the same, change the feel through editing and automation, and test both against a sub or reese at 172 BPM. If both versions feel useful, you're on the right track. All right, let's get into Ableton and make that break move like it means it.